Now, at the end of the chapter, verse 33, you can see the priority that is given to this kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so, this is God's approval. This is God's stamp, that if you are busy in his kingdom, then he promises that all these other things, those things which are the general cares of life, and they're real, they're important, but if we keep our focus on the Lord's kingdom as our priority, then he will bring those and cause them to fall into place.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and on this final day of the year, I take this opportunity to sincerely thank every listener and give God the praise for the opportunity to bring the Lord's Word here week by week and day by day on this station. I want you to know that each time that I get behind a microphone, I'm truly thankful, and I'm humbled that I have this opportunity to open the Bible, to read and speak upon that word, and then to introduce the messages from the pulpit of our church. I do devote a good many hours per week to this work, and my prayer is that the Lord will take his word and make it a sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Now that's a word from Isaiah, that the word of God will be effective, that it will cut, make its mark, and bring sinners to repentance and God's people to personal faith in the Lord Jesus. The preacher is not just sent to preach and teach history, but we are to open the book, we are to expound and explain, but we're also to apply, and that means to bear the listener to their responsibility in light of the word that is preached. Here in Matthew 6, we have the emphasis on prayer, and we have what the Lord has given to the disciples. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but in fact it is the Christian's prayer. And I exhort you to give yourself to prayer as we now soon launch into a new year, and that your heart might be ever bowed before God, waiting on him and calling unto him to help. Let me read you this passage in Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. And we rejoice that we have this word from the Lord, that we may seek God's will and God's kingdom here on earth. And I trust that that will be your burden as we soon enter into this new year, to do the will of God and to extend the Lord's kingdom. And I trust that through these programs on this radio station that are going out in this area, they're going out in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, southern Ontario, and into New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Prince Edward Island. We're thankful for this opportunity. Thank you to those who stand with us and make this possible. And I do covet your prayers and support. More of that at the end of the program. But stay tuned now for Alan McGill singing for us. May the Lord minister to your own heart today.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
And when we pray, God's will be done, thy kingdom come, when you unite those two together, you are praying that just as in heaven, where the angels serve God instantly, implicitly, where the souls of just men are made perfect, that here on earth, in his church, Christ, his word would be obeyed. His people will be delighting in doing his will, that we will delight in his worship. We think of how the angels and the saints in heaven worship God day and night, gladly, joyfully, gathering around that throne with their crescendos of praise. Here in the church, this is the praise house of God, where we worship with great joy, where the world has no understanding of the delight that Christians take in living and walking and worshiping the Savior. In heaven, all the focus is upon Christ on the throne. We've gone through those chapters of Revelation where you have that concentric configuration of the throne. And there, seated on that throne with the Father, is the Son at his right hand. And then, as in a circle around him, you have those living creatures. And then those cherubim and the angels and the saints. And what focus there is upon the Savior. Here in his church, we ought to mimic that as best we can. Now, we can never get it perfect in this world. But we're praying the Lord's kingdom come. We're praying that the grace, the glory of Christ come into the midst of his church and manifest itself with great power. Let our church services so magnify the Lord as the Lamb of God, as it is in heaven. In heaven, the bride is adorned. All the righteousness of Christ she wears. And so to offer this prayer, "Thy kingdom come," is to pray for the Lord's church to be a shining example as the bride of Christ, in purity, in communion, sweet fellowship, in devotion. Church should not be a hard place. It should be a place where our hard hearts are melted, where our love for the Lord Jesus is stoked to a high heat, and our zeal and our warmth and our passion for our Savior exudes. Oh, I take delight as I look down over a congregation and see people enjoying the worship of the Lord. Much of the Bible is really calling Christians to true worship and to promote the Lord's kingdom, his church, his program on earth. If you turn to the Psalm 122, and of course the Psalms are very full of these expressions, but I don't want us to miss the emphasis that the prayers and the songbook of the church places upon this health, prosperity, and the true worship of the Lord in the church. Psalm 122. Let's look at verse 6. "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." You can write over that, "thy kingdom come." That God's program on earth amongst his people is promoted, prospered, and that God's blessing rests and resides upon that. Then go to Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1. Isaiah 35, verse 1. Now, this reminds me of a New Year resolution I made last January, that in this year past, that I would slow up in quoting Bible verses. Because I came to the conclusion that if I just quote them and rattle them off, that they don't stick. Now, they might make that impression at the moment, but you don't get time to absorb. You don't have opportunity even to mark them in your Bible or take a note of them. And I have endeavored to do that through the year. I hope you noticed. Because I want my people to go home and say, we learned things tonight out of the book, not just out of the mouth of the preacher. And so here in Isaiah 35, 1, it is language that refers to the Lord's church. "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose." Now again, you can write over this, "thy kingdom come," that the Lord come and prospers his church, his kingdom here on earth. Verse 2, "it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God." Now, I know these are flowery, poetical expressions. Isaiah is that kind of a writer. but they are alluding to the prosperity of the Lord's church and the Lord's kingdom. And so throughout the Bible, you'll find God's servants with this pent-up passion. And you'll see that it's future here. It's going to happen. And much in the book of Isaiah and in the Psalms as well is referring to when Christ should come. The Messiah will bring this about. And when we think of the works of the Lord in his church over these 2,000 years, no doubt great things have been done for Christ. Great things have been done for Christ. And men and women and churches have labored praying, "Thy kingdom come." Now we must not lose sight of that. We must not lose heart that it's thinking that it's all over. No, there is much more yet. The half has not been told. The Lord is able to do greater than we even expect. And that's a verse I'm thinking about preaching. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so we're praying, "Thy kingdom come." And when the church goes to prayer, when the church calls upon God for his blessing, this is how we're taught to pray. Jesus said to his disciples, "Pray ye, Thy kingdom come." That's the striving of this prayer. And then we come to the stopping point of the prayer. "Thy kingdom come." That's the stopping point. This is to be our earnest petition. And there is a sense in which we on this earth will never be satisfied, no matter how many souls are converted, no matter how much the gospel advances. We'll never be satisfied. We'll never stop praying, "Thy kingdom come." But there is a time that we will stop, when Christ comes. That will be the apex of this fulfillment. That will be the completion of it all. That's the harvest day when Christ shall come and he shall appear. And he will call every one of his people out of the world and he will gather the wheat into his barn. Then his kingdom will have come when the king appears. And so Christians don't just keep their eyes upon the calendar of an earthly year or an earthly calendar. But our eye is to be on that eternal day when Christ shall come. And then we stop asking, "Thy kingdom come." In the eternal state of God's kingdom, there will be a perfect state. It will be a kingdom of righteousness. There will be no more sin, no more curse. Now we can see the old year out and a new year in, but I have to warn you, sin will still abound. Trials will still beset us. There will be challenges and trials in the new year. It may begin bright and beautiful, but it's not heaven. We must not stop yet praying, "Thy kingdom come." But we will be satisfied in heaven, because we have learned already tonight that in heaven, the Lord is worshipped perfectly. We here complain. Did you know that in prayer meetings, Christians complain? Do you ever hear Christians complaining in the prayer meeting? I hear it all the time. And I do a lot of complaining myself. I say, "Lord, I don't like this. I don't like the way I am. I need to change. I hate my sin. I hate temptation. I hate to see the devil winning. I hate to see the church declining." We in the prayer room, we complain a whole lot to God. Our hearts are aching that the revival may come. And when we learn that in heaven everything is perfect, God is perfectly obeyed. And that is what one of the things that makes heaven to be heaven. God's will is done perfectly. In heaven, souls are perfected and conformed into God's image. You read in Hebrews 12 about the souls of just men made perfect. That's people like you and me. People who on earth prayed, "Thy kingdom come. Lord, let your kingdom develop and blossom in me." And now they're in heaven where souls are made perfect in God's presence. People get disappointed with crabby Christians down here. The sour saint. You ever met one of those? You'll find them. The dubious deacons. You'll find them. The eccentric elders. You'll find them here on earth. And may the Lord deliver you from the pesty pastor. I know I'm just playing with words in that. But down here on earth, we are very imperfect. Our attempts at worship are sometimes pathetic. Do you know sometimes I take the recordings of a Sunday service and I try to edit them for the following week? And I scratch my head, and how am I going to improve that? That singing, that praying, that statement, that hymning in hand, that all has to go. It needs to be cleaned up and presented that people might listen in clearly. That's just the audio part. What about what's in the heart? God reads the heart. It's not just the external volume and the voice or the expression, but it's the Lord reads the heart. And as he looks into the heart, what does he see? Imperfection, wrong motives, selfishness, degrees of pride. That's earthly worship. But in heaven, there is perfection. And that's the stopping point when we see Jesus. The psalmist said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. We shall be satisfied with thy goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Satisfaction. The stopping point of this praying for God's kingdom to come is when we see Christ. When that midnight 12 o'clock will strike and Jesus shall appear in his glory. And we're told that we're going to be changed into his beautiful and wonderful image. And so on earth, we do not settle for gimmicks. We do not settle for the things of this world to satisfy our souls, because they never will. We keep looking unto Jesus. Did you ever hear about the rat park experiment? These researchers, who seem to work a lot with rats, they had a very plain kind of cage, and they put a number of rats inside, and they put two water bowls. One was just plain, pure water. The other was laced with drugs. And those rats inside the plain cage, of course, they went to the water filled with drugs, and they drugged themselves to death. They died. The other cage was called the rat park. They built into it little hiding holes and places of enjoyment for these rats and put in all kinds of food and rat enjoyments, whatever that would be. And then they put in the two drinking bowls, one laced with drugs, the other with just plain water. Now, this is real research done in a real observable situation. And those rats in the rat park only took the pure, clean water. They had no interest in the drugs. The moral? The emptiness of human life without Christ. What is the real seat of the drug problem in this world? Why are people killing themselves, literally, every day on our city streets? It's the emptiness, the pointlessness, the boredom, the depression that brings, to the point where they will resort to dangerous drugs. Only Christ can fill the human heart. And that's the kingdom coming. The kingdom is within you. When the Lord Jesus is living in your heart, you are a different citizen because Christ is your king. I pray tonight that this word will be a word of grace and help to your own soul. And as we soon launch into a new year, that we will see, even here on earth, the Lord's kingdom come more and more and more, developing, this church blossoming, that the glory will be the Lord's, and we'll give him all the praise.
All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me.
It has been my privilege to bring the Lord's Word to you week by week and day by day. And I pray earnestly that the messages from the Bible will be directly applicable and make an impact on your life. I hear from some who listen almost daily. Many tune in at 5 a.m. and start their day with Let the Bible Speak. Others tune in on their car radio at 5 a.m. or 5 p.m. So I'm with you for the drive. I hope that in God's providence I can be a pastor to you, that I have been a counselor and helper to understand the Bible and, of course, the gospel of the crosswork of the Lord Jesus. Now, the best form of counseling is the exposition of the Bible on a steady, consistent basis. The Holy Spirit can direct that word to your heart and apply it to you. With all changes and cares of life, there is always a need for a fresh word from the Lord. I want to exhort you to be a good Bible reader and Bible student in the year to come. Go to our website for the daily reading schedule and other helps. Please send me an email or write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 18790 58 Avenue, Cloverdale, BC, V3S1M6, or call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. I want to thank all who have supported this broadcast by their giving through the year. We are indebted and we are thankful for every support as we broadcast across Canada from Vancouver Island to Prince Edward Island. Thank you, and the Lord bless as we see the old year out. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when, once more, we let the Bible speak.